we give into this afternoon.
This time last year at Rise and Build 2018, we together invested in the launch of Alive Academy. Some of the first fruits of Alive Academy are the raising of John and Judy Swanock as location pastors of a brand new location of Alive, launching in September into the town of Gainsborough. Here's John and Judy to tell you more.
We love Gainsborough. It's full of beautiful people that God loves and that we love as well.
So we've been talking about Gainsborough for a long time now, and it's so exciting to say that it's no longer a conversation, we are actually planting. We are launching on Sunday, the 8th of September, with a Sunday afternoon service. We've also got our Connect groups running, and we're working with the social engagement projects in the community.
Your kindness, commitment, and generosity to Rise and Build this year is going to enable Alive Church to plant a location here in Gainsborough, bringing hope, salvation and healing as we raise new disciples in this town.
We would love it if you would continue to pray with us. We're so excited about what God is doing here in Gainsborough.
Alive Church, I want to thank you for your investment today. Together we're partnering for the launch of a location of Alive into Gainsborough. This year really is a year of multiplication. God encourages us to seek the peace and prosperity of the places we find ourselves. To pray for it, because if it prospers, so too will we. And that's what we're looking for Gainsborough. We want Gainsborough to know that we love this town.
Isn't that so exciting that we here in Newark get to be part of something in a different part of this region? It's so exciting. So as I mentioned, it's our second week of Rise and Build, and last week we had Mark here with us, and he talked about how we are commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations. And that is a big challenge for us, isn't it? But it's amazing that we have a bigger God who has a global perspective on these things and has sovereign power to make those things happen. But this week we're going to be focusing down a little bit more locally. We're going to be looking at what that looks like here in Newark, and how each of us can partner with God to see our community flourish. It's so exciting. So my prayer for us this afternoon is that each of us leaves with a God-given desire to see that flourishing community here in Newark. So I'm just going to pray, if that's okay with everyone, and even if it's not. Lord, I thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for what you want to say to us this afternoon. Lord, I pray that as I speak, will it be you that speaks through me? Let anything that is of me fall away, and let us catch something of your heart this afternoon, Lord. Amen. Now, I don't want to rush what God has to say to us this afternoon, but I'm also really aware of how excited you all are to hear Dom speak. And he's told me not to hype it up, but I can't help it. So I'm just going to crack on with getting stuck into the Word of God, if that is okay with everybody.
Yes,
okay. So the passage we're going to look at this afternoon is from the book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a priest and a prophet, and he lived and worked in the city of Jerusalem about 650 years before Jesus was born. And one of the things that Jeremiah is most known for is his prophecy and his prediction about the fall of Jerusalem to the nation or the Empire of Babylon. So unfortunately, that happened, and the nation of Babylon came and they besieged Jerusalem. They surrounded Jerusalem until the king of Judah, and I read his name and I can't say it, so I'm not even going to try, but the king of Judah, he surrendered, and the city of Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. The Babylonians came in, they destroyed a lot of the golden articles that Solomon had made for the temple, and they took a lot of people away and into exile. They took artisans, they took skilled workers, they took soldiers, and they took them hundreds of miles away into Babylon. And it's crazy, really, isn't it? I think about those people that are hundreds of miles away from where they've been living. They're in a nation where people don't speak the same language as them. They don't have the same religion as them. The food's probably different. What a disaster. And there's just so much that is unfamiliar to them. And they're living in this foreign land. And there were loads of false prophets at that time who were speaking to the Israelites and were saying, do you know what? This is going to be fine. The king of Babylon, he's not going to be in charge for very long. We'll be home before we know it. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about settling. We'll be home before you know it. But those people, those false prophets, they weren't listening to what God had to say. They were just telling the people what they wanted to hear. Jeremiah, on the other hand, was listening to what God had to say. And what God had to say was something different to that, which sounds ominous, doesn't it? Like, oh, God wasn't saying they're going to be home soon. What a disaster. But the thing that God had to say was so full of promise and so full of hope for the nation of Israel. So I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 to 7. And this is from the letter that was written to the people who are in exile. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God is saying to the people of Israel who've been carried off that you have a future and it is full of good things. You will have homes, you will have shelter, you'll have food on the table, you'll have families, you'll have friendships. But those things won't be in Jerusalem. Those things will be in Babylon. God always has good plans for us, but they're not always what we expect. And like we saw with the false prophets there, it's not always what we want to hear. In fact, the verse that's often quoted when we talk about God's plans for us is just slightly further through in that chapter in Jeremiah. It's verse 11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God has good plans for us here in Newark, and he had good plans for the people of Israel as well. And the plans for the people of Israel, as we just read through there, they are to establish a community there. They're long-term activities, aren't they? Raising families, building houses. They're not something you just do on a whim. They're long-term activities. And God wanted those things for the good of the people of Israel, but he also wanted them for the good of the area where they were settled in Babylon. It says, doesn't it, to pray for the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you. Did you know, guys, that this earth is not our home? This earth isn't our home. It says in Paul and Timothy's letter to the Philippians, it says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we think about that, if we realise that this earth isn't our home, it allows us to put ourselves kind of in the shoes better of those people who'd been carried into exile. We're the same. They were carried from their home. They were carried from Jerusalem into a foreign land. And we are here exiled, if you like, in Newark. And so it means that what Jeremiah is saying to the people of Israel is the same. It's as relevant for us now as it was for the people who'd been carried into exile then. That we should build, we should raise families, we should multiply, we should pray for the prosperity of where we've been carried into exile. But why do we want to do that? Why do we want to do that in Newark? And this brings me nicely to my first point, and this is that we should be people who seek for Newark to be a flourishing community, one for Jesus. I'm just going to go back to that passage in Jeremiah from verse 7. And it says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now, Jeremiah, you might be surprised to hear, did not write this letter in English. He wrote it in a language called Hebrew, and he uses a word in that one verse. He uses it twice, and it's my favourite Hebrew word. I'm so excited. It's the word shalom. And I like it because it's fun to say, but I also like it because it has such a breadth to its meaning and such a depth to its meaning as well. It's used for so many different things. We see here that it's used for both peace and prosperity. But we also, we were in Israel with a group of people just before Christmas, and whenever you go into a cafe or a restaurant or anywhere, meet anyone new, that is what you greet each other with shalom, shalom. That's how you say hello in Israel. But it also means so much more than just hello, and more than peace and more than prosperity. It talks more about a kind of a wholeness, a completeness, a well-being, everything working together. It talks about kind of something that is really complex that is made complete. So you could think maybe about a wall. A wall is full of loads of bricks, and if there's not a single brick missing, you could say that that wall is shalom, that wall is complete. But it means more than just completeness as well. It means kind of a step beyond that. It's got a measure of grace to it as well. So if you think about, when we think about peace, we often think about wartime, don't we, and the difference between war and peace. But with shalom peace, it's not just that two nations aren't at war, it's that they're actively working together for one another's benefit. It's that extra going beyond of just peace. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean in terms of what Jeremiah was saying and what that means for us? And if I read that verse again and I replace, if I put shalom back in where it was written, it says, "Also seek the shalom of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will have shalom." Jeremiah is saying that we should seek shalom, we should seek wholeness and prosperity for where we are in exile. For the Israelites, that was Babylon, and for us, that is Newark. We should be seeking the peace, the prosperity, the wholeness, the completeness, the grace of God for Newark. We should be seeking shalom for Newark. We should want to see it more than just restored, but that extra step beyond. Can you imagine, just for a second, what Newark would look like if that shalom of God was over Newark? Just imagine what our families would be like, what our homes would be like, what our workplaces and schools and just out and about in town, what that would be like if the shalom of God was complete over Newark. But how do we do it? How do we partner with God to help transform Newark into that flourishing community that's full of the peace and prosperity and wholeness of God? And this brings me to my second point, and that is that each of us has a personal responsibility to seek shalom for Newark. It says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, "From one man he, that is God, made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." What that means is that each one of us is put in this time, that we have our appointed time and we have our appointed boundaries. We're in a time and a place, and the reason for that is to seek God for the time and the place that we find ourselves in. Yeah. It's for each one of us to seek God here in Newark in 2019. Yeah. You might not believe it, given the current situation, but God has a plan for this nation. He has a plan for the town of Newark, and he has a plan for each one of us in seeing that happen. So, if God has a plan for Newark, if it's to give it, as we read in Jeremiah, a hope and a future, plans to prosper it and not to harm it, plans to see his kingdom come here in Newark, plans to see a thriving and vibrant community of people who love him and follow him planted here in Newark, what does this look like? If we've got individual roles in that, what do those individual roles look like? So I just want to quickly go through four things that I feel that that God wants us to know from this passage in Jeremiah about what our individual responsibility looks like. And the first is this, it's that we make this place our home. It talks in Jeremiah about how build houses and settle down. And that is the same for us now, that we should be making this place our home. And I know that I've said that this earth is not our home. And Jesus talks in Matthew chapter 6 about how we should store up our treasures in heaven. And that is true. But we are also on this earth for a time and a place, as we've read in Acts. We are called to this place for now. And we need to be settled here. We need to make our home here. The second thing is that we need to do good work and see it bear fruit. It says in Jeremiah, to plant gardens and eat what they produce. Not eat if they produce, eat what they produce. We have work to do, and work that is in line with God's will and God's purposes will always bear fruit. Not if it bears fruit, but when. We talked the other week, didn't we, about how works are an outward sign of our inward faith. And we need to be making sure that our faith in God, our faith in Jesus that is in us, is going out of us into the town of Newark. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We have got stuff to do, and it's already been prepared for us. It's already there waiting for us to grab hold of it, and it will be fruitful. If we're doing something that is in line with what God has for us and what God is saying to us, it will be fruitful. The third thing is that we should think about generations to come. It talks in Jeremiah about how we should have sons and daughters, marry and have sons and daughters, and for them to marry and for them to have children. Now, I'm not saying that means we all go out now and have loads of children. That's not, I don't think, what what I'm saying at all. But we should have an eye on the future. We should have an eye on those future generations. We have a responsibility now to those future generations to be building a community and building a church that is something that we would want them to be a part of, something that we would want them to inherit, a legacy for them. Whether they're our own children or whether they're children of people that we know, people that we love, we still want for them a good, flourishing community, a town that has the shalom of God. And the fourth thing is, and this is one that conveniently I don't have to try and see, help you see the different, like the parallel between the two, because it's just there the same now as it was then, that we should pray for Newark to prosper. That we should pray for shalom in Newark. I could read that verse from Jeremiah, and it's the same for us now, that we should pray for peace and prosperity. Because when Newark prospers, each one of us prospers as well. And we're going to have the opportunity later on to pray for Newark, to pray for its prosperity, to pray for shalom for Newark. So we need to embrace our roles as exiles here in Newark. Each one of us, as I've said, has an individual responsibility to partner with God, to rise and build his church here in Newark, to see a peaceful and prosperous and flourishing community of believers here in Newark. And it's fantastic, isn't it, that we have the opportunity this afternoon to give into what God is doing here in Newark. And I know that it's amazing, isn't it, that we've seen in Gainsborough and we're all excited about what's happening in Gainsborough, but I know that we're all excited as well to hear what's happening in Newark. Sorry, Dom, I'm bigging it up again. And I'm so excited that we get to share with you this afternoon what we believe, we as the Location Forum believe that God is calling us to here in Newark. What he's calling us to help see the peace and prosperity, help see shalom in Newark. So, with no further ado, we turn our attention to the screens.
We see Alive as a strategic multi-site church made up of thousands, expressing itself in numerous locations.
Here in Newark, we are one of those locations, playing our part to see many people come to faith and passionately equip them to follow Jesus Christ.
A church readily working with other churches and ministries in the town of Newark, committed to seeing the advancement of God's kingdom.
We're playing our part in the re-evangelization of Newark, believing we have a significant contribution to make.
We see Alive as a knowing church, a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church who value all people, ensuring everyone is given the opportunity to know Jesus.
We see a body of people who carry the heart and ethos of the church in all age ranges.
We see Alive as a church of character and humility, where everybody serves the mission of Christ, putting others before themselves.
We see a church who both deeply value gathering together on a Sunday for vibrant worship and celebration and connecting together in smaller groups for friendship and discipleship.
We see Alive as a growing church, a Bible-believing church, living out Orthodox Christian lifestyles handed down to us in word and deed.
A Jesus-centered community empowered to make a difference in the world.
A positive, Holy Spirit-filled people demonstrating the fruit and gifts of the Spirit and the character of Christ.
We see Alive as a welcoming church where kindness and hospitality are the hallmark.
A church who model the generous heart of God through their own generosity.
A church who carry a spirit of excellence.
A praying church who believe that nothing is impossible with God.
We see Alive as a going church, a church of influence, with involvement in all spheres of society and a focused mission into the world.
A church with a heart for the poor and the marginalised, determined to bring transformation to people's lives.
A church led by men and women who are committed to one another and to God to see the advancement of kingdom and see their dreams come true.
We see a church that leads the way in training leaders who carry the culture and DNA of the house, both within the church and into society, equipping everyone to serve God in every area of their lives.
come on now. Who here is excited for what God is doing in this nation? Hey? Who's excited for what God is doing in Newark? Who is excited to be able to be a part of what God is doing, to be used by God for the furtherment of the kingdom in this town? Yeah? Come on. I know I am. You know, when we were filming that video, we had to walk around Newark, and we had to find out the best filming locations. We had to find out where we could film. So we had to think, you know, oh, where can we film that's going to make Newark look the best? And you're right. And the challenge that we had was not, hey, where can we film this video? The challenge that we had was, oh man, where do we have to miss out? Where do we have to miss out? Because Newark is such a beautiful place. I don't know if you think that, but I think that. Newark is such a beautiful place. It's got beautiful buildings. It's got a beautiful market square. It's got half a castle, which is great. And in fact, when we were filming the video, there was a chap with us. And he'd never been to Newark before. It was his first time, and he was helping us filming because he knows how to use a camera, which is really handy when you need to film a video. And he said to me at one point, he said, "Dom, this town's amazing. This town's really beautiful." And I just looked around, and I was just like, yeah, I know. I get to live here. I just love Newark. It is a beautiful place. But you know what's much, much more important than that? And that is that Newark is filled with beautiful people. Newark's filled with beautiful people that God loves so much. Did you know that every single person in Newark, God knitted them together in their mother's womb? The Bible tells us that. Did you know that God knows every single hair on the head of every person living in Newark? Did you know that God sent his one and only son such that he might get to see every single person in Newark in heaven with him? That is the heart cry of God. That's what God wants more than anything else. He wants his family back. He just wants his family back. He is his will that none may perish. And that should be our heart cry as well. That should be our heart cry, that none in Newark may perish. And that is why God created the church. God created the church not to be high and mighty, not to have the moral high ground, not to look down on people or to be perfect, thankfully. God created the church to be the hands and feet of Jesus on this planet. Yeah? To be a big sign that points to God. To be a big sign that points people to a relationship with God. And that's our mission. That's our mission. Mark 15:16, when Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples." He's talking about Newark as well. Go into Newark and make disciples. Unfortunately, we're already here, but now we need to go and make disciples. That's our mission. And Newark is our mission field. Go into Newark, make disciples. There is no plan B, church. There is only the church. There is only the church. Church is the hope of the world. And God has made promises. God has made promises to this church. He's made promises to Alive Newark, promises of growth, promises of renewal, promises that we may have, that we may intercede, we may have intercession into areas of this town and influence in this town that we have not seen before. We've had people with strong prophetic giftings come to this place and give us that word, give us that prophecy, a promise from God. How exciting is that? Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. And God said, you know, that this growth that he's promised us is not just transfer growth. That means it's not just attracting people that already know Jesus. That's great. But it's kingdom growth. It's actual new growth, new people coming to know Jesus. The kingdom will grow. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited. Come on now. But the church, you see, is a partnership. The church is a partnership between people and God. And God's made his promise to the church, but now in our partnership, we have to do our part. We have to do our part. So we have to position ourselves as a church now to step into these promises that God has made to us. To bring about these promises, we have to look at the next season of the life of Alive Newark and say, hey, what do we have to do? How do we have to move? Where do we have to go? Where do we have to position ourselves to get from where we are now to where God has promised us we're going to be? Well, as a location forum, as a leadership team in the church, we've been praying about this. We've been thinking about this. We've been asking God about this and working through this and trying to figure out what it is that we do. What does the next season look like? Are there any obstacles that are in the way at the moment that are stopping people from coming to church, yes, but more importantly, coming to church and coming to meet with their Father? We know that that our service time of 4 p.m. Is a bit of a challenge for some people. For individuals and families, it's a bit of a challenge. 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, I mean, it's a school night. It's bath and bedtime, isn't it? And we know that some people struggle with that. And there are families in this church that are so committed to this church, families with younger people that are so committed to this church that they come anyway, even despite the fact that it's a struggle. And those people, I mean, we just say thank you. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. But the thought is this: if there are families in the church that struggle with 4 p.m., what about families outside of the church? How many people are we keeping away because of our service time? If our service time is standing between an individual or a family and coming to church and coming to meet with their Father, our service time has to change. Do we agree? Do we want to see more people in this place? I do. So I'm excited to be able to share with you today that we are moving our service time from 4 p.m. on a Sunday to 10:30 a.m. Still on a Sunday. Still on a Sunday. And the idea, the aim, the only motivation behind this is to make ourselves more accessible to more people in this town, to point more people to Jesus. That is our only motivation. That is all we want to do. But our new service time, 10:30, it's exciting. But it poses us a challenge, another challenge. Because this building, the building that we're in at the moment, the building that we've been blessed to make use of for the last 3 years, it's not available on a Sunday morning. We can't meet here on a Sunday morning. So back to the location forum, we've been praying, we've been thinking, God, show us a way. Where can we meet? We need to meet as a church, don't we? We need a roof over our heads, otherwise the stuff's going to get wet because we live in England. So we need a building. We need a place to meet. And church, God has answered our prayer, and I'm really excited to be able to announce to you today that we will be meeting at 10:30 on a Sunday morning at our new location of the Magnus Academy. Can we cheer for that? We're moving to Magnus Academy. We're moving to 10:30. The first service will be on Easter Sunday. It's a significant day for the church. I'm just so excited to see what God is going to do, who God is going to bring through our door, how many more people we can point to Jesus because of this. I'm so excited. But church, there's more. There's more. I've got some more for you because we started having these conversations with Magnus a few months ago, and we were trying to determine, you know, what the relationship was going to look like, what a partnership might look like, how things were going to work. And we very quickly realized that a relationship between the church and Magnus was so much more significant than just building hire. So much more significant than just rocking up on a Sunday morning, getting our stuff out and doing a service. Yes, that stuff is so important and it's great. But we believe that God has got so much more for us than that. Magnus, for those of you that don't know, is a Church of England school. So it's built on a strong Christian ethos as it is. And the head teacher there, her name is Anna. Anna is absolutely 100% sold out for Jesus. She loves Jesus so much. She brings Jesus into that school. She's so passionate about seeing the life transformation that comes from the wondrous love of Jesus. And this is an incredible thing. And Anna and her team are welcoming us into their building with open arms. And they're saying they cannot wait for us to bring a joyful sound of worship into their school hall every Sunday morning. They cannot wait, church, for us to fill their corridors with prayer. They cannot wait for us to bring more of the Holy Spirit, more of Jesus, the light of the world, into their building. Well, to them, we are not just a booking out facilities. They recognize us as the Church of Jesus Christ, the city on a hill, and they are so excited to have us there. Come on. Yeah. Now, there's still ongoing conversations as to exactly how our relationship can look going forward. And it's so exciting because as far as I can see, there's nothing that's off the table. Anna has already asked us to form a group that prays with her regularly, praying with the head teacher of that school to pray for protection for her so that she can lead that school in the way that God has asked her to lead it. Anna has already asked us if we can go around the school with them regularly on prayer walks of the school, praying protection over that school, praying that the enemy would not have a foothold in that school, commissioning angels to stand on the door of every classroom in that school, protecting what goes on there. How incredible. Anna has already asked us how we can help. How we can help with the chaplaincy work that goes on in the school. How we can speak the life of Jesus into the students there. How we can speak the life of Jesus into parents, into staff, into everybody who has anything to do with Magnus. This is just an incredible opportunity, church. Magnus is just so much more than just a venue. So much more than just a place to have a service. It's a crossroads in the town. It's a hub of activity. You know, it's got sports halls, it's got dance studios, tennis courts, football pitches, all the stuff. It's a real hive of activity, as well as being a center for education, a place where foundations are laid upon for people's lives. We're just being given a key to the city. How incredible is this? You know, I really believe that that this partnership, this relationship that we have, that we're developing with Magnus, is going to be so hugely significant, spiritually significant to this town. I just cannot wait to see what God is going to do. I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. And you know, the prophecy that we spoke about from Jack, Liv's going to talk more about it later on, when he talked about us having interceding in new areas and having influence in new areas. This is exactly what God meant. I am so excited. Moving is exciting. It definitely is. Hold on. Apologies. Moving is exciting, but it's also a challenge. It's also a challenge. It poses logistical challenges, and it's going to take finance. Church, it's going to take investment now. You see, resources that we've had available to us in this building will no longer be available to us. It's just the facts. For example, the drum kit that we have, that's there now, apparently. The drum kit that we use, that belongs here. The PA speakers that we use, they can't come with us either. You know, we need to invest in things, into transport and storage cases for moving things around to protect what we have. We need to invest. So our Rise and Build goal for this year is to facilitate the move to Magnus, to facilitate us stepping out into the promise that God has made us, to us stepping into the next season that God has for us. Our goal is £43,000. It's £43,000. It is a big goal. It is the biggest goal that we've set for Rise and Build. But we worship and we believe in a big God, do we not? And we believe that our big God is doing big things in Newark and he is using us to do them. So I don't see this as an issue at all. Plans are in motion, church. Sunday, Easter Sunday, 10:30 at Magnus. It's an exciting time to be in the church. But first now comes our part. We talked about partnership earlier. Now comes our part, our step of faith. And it is a step of faith. The Bible talks about faith being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. That's a step of faith. And that's what this is, to bring about the promises of God. See, when we invest in Rise and Build, we're not investing into stuff. We're not investing into drum kits and speakers and all that sort of stuff. We're investing into the mission that God has for us. We're investing into the promises that God has made to us. That's our investment. That's what we're investing into. It's not about stuff. It's about people. And you know, church, that is why we're moving our service to 10:30, so that we may be accessible to more people, to point more people to Jesus. That's why we're starting a relationship with the Magnus Academy, so that we may be able to speak life and light into more people and point more people towards Jesus. That's why we're investing in the PA system and other things, so that we may proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, worship him, and lift his name high in this town and point more people to Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about pointing people to Jesus, seeing people discipled in his teachings and seeing lives transformed by his wondrous love. So let's look at a breakdown. Let's look at a breakdown. Our Rise and Build goal this year, what are we investing into? We've already spoken about Alive in Gainsborough. We've already spoken about that. It's a new church plant that we're so excited about. Alive is a multi-site church. It's going to become even more multi-site. We want to plant more churches into more locations around this town so that more people might come to know Jesus, so that more people may experience the life and light that he has for them. You know, 3 years ago when we planted this location, we were only able to do that because of the generous giving in other Alive locations that already existed, that didn't even know us, and they gave generously into the mission that we have in this town. And without those people, we probably wouldn't be here now. And we now get the opportunity to do the same thing for those guys that are starting out in Gainsborough. We are one church, and we get to give into that church plan, and that's so important for us as a church. We're also giving into our continued investment into future locations. It's Gainsborough this year, somewhere else next year. We're a multi-site church, we're always planting, we're always reaching the next town. That's an exciting thing to invest into, isn't it? Yeah. I think so anyway. And our venue setup costs that we've talked about. Facilitating our move into Magnus. What do we need to do? The logistics. How is it all going to happen? How is it all going to work out? PA systems, stage decks, drum kit and screen, storage and transport cases to make this happen. So now it's time to ask God. And you know, I really feel like asking God, talking to God, is key in this whole thing, because now is our time to step out in faith. And we can't do that without a conversation with God and say, hey, God, what are you going to put on my heart? Where do you want me to invest into this? And just a bit of a breakdown on the numbers for you. If you pledge today £614.29 over the year, you can do that, or all on one day, then it would take 70 people to achieve our goal. If you were able to pledge today that over the year or all in one day, £860, then it would take 50 people to achieve our goal, £43,000. Or if you were able to pledge £1,720 today, it would take 25 people to reach our goal. And so I'd like to leave some space now for all of us to carefully consider this, because this is not an investment to be made lightly, and it's not a decision to be taken lightly. This is a conversation between you and God, as individuals, to find out what it is that God wants you to give into this, how God wants you to invest. And that's a personal thing. It's different for each of us. And you know, there might be some people here today that are thinking, wow, I don't really have any money, so this bit's not really for me. I want to encourage you today that this bit is for you. The generous spirit of God is for everybody. God was generous to everybody, and he gives us all that spirit of generosity. Regardless of the size of an offering, God's not interested. But the spirit of generosity and the joyful heart of giving is what God is interested in. So we have some, well, first of all, there's a video where Howard and Glenn are just going to explain how the cards and stuff work. But during this time, I just think it would be really helpful for everybody just to pray, just personally, and just to think about, hey, what can I do? How can I contribute to this mission in Newark and beyond? So let's do that now. Guys, if we can play the video.